Welcome to 2 Inches Deep, coming to you live from a garage somewhere in Summerlin. We got Coach Jackson Bozarth, Ali Rock, and then we have a special guest star today. I'm going to learn a lot about him on this episode. His name is Vlad Plotnikov. That's how you say it with the accent.
Shit's sick.
But in American, it's probably like Plotnikov, you know. But he's here today. I'm going to start talking about a little bit about him, what he does, and I think Jackson should take it away.
Yeah, man. Like I said, we just got done kind of doing a prep stuff, but thank you so much for coming on, man. How is everything? How is everything post-COVID now, even though we're in the midst of it?
Yeah, bro. It's everything's good. It's kind of picking up. It's, you know, it's weird. It's been a weird time, I think, for everybody since, you know, we live in Vegas, you know, entertainment, kind of entertainment capital, and everything shuts down. It's like, I'm sure you guys were, you know, did you guys go down the strip when it was dead?
Yeah. Yeah, we actually did. We did a video on it of like running down the strip empty. It was almost...
Oh, I saw it.
It was a ghost town. It was a ghost town.
And it's like, crazy. It's crazy. It's like I've never seen that. And I don't think, hopefully we'll ever see it again. After everything kind of...
Unless there's like a zombie apocalypse. I think that was the only time we'll ever see that. That was nuts. But yeah, man, I think... talk to us about that. I mean, you've lived in another country before, and then now you know, Vegas. What was that like? I mean, you talked about you were born in Russia, right? And then moved here at 2.
So I was actually born in Germany. My dad had a job out in Berlin, so I was born there. I lived there for a year. I moved back to Russia, lived there for a year, and then I moved here when I was 2. So I don't remember too much about it, but I used to go back like every summer or every 2 summers and go visit, but I haven't been back in like 5 years. So
no kidding. Can you speak multiple languages or?
Yeah. Russian was my first language, and I actually didn't speak English till kindergarten. So I walked into kindergarten.
Same with me, man. My mom threw me in there.
Dude, threw me in the deep end. Right. Like I got in there and there, I knew hi, bye. That's it. I mean, need to go to the bathroom.
I was speaking to kids in Ukraine, and they're speaking back to me in English, and we're just communicating.
Same, bro. I would talk to them, and they'd be like, "That's cool." So I'd like befriend kids like that.
Right.
And then over time, I had an accent at first. I'm sure, you know, first, second grade, and then kind of wore off, and I started picking up steam. I guess learning English.
No kidding. And for those of you guys who don't know, Vlad and I have competed against each other for years. I've known about Vlad since probably we were in middle school. Was always the quarterback, and then went to Centennial High School out here. Was a quarterback out there. You know, we do talk about sports on here. The one question I got asked is, because I'm an asshole, how tough was it your senior year? Because I had always known about Centennial and stuff like that, and I always thought that you guys had a good program, but like, you were the star of that team, obviously. How tough was it that senior year? Was that the winless season, or what happened that year?
Yeah, so I think we won one game my senior year, and it was crazy because building up to it, I was like, you know, we're gonna have a good season. It's my senior year, and you know, probably a month and a half before the season, we actually had one of your guys that you played with. I'm not gonna out him on here, but he actually ended up getting in a fight, and he was one of our star receivers. He played on the Henderson Cowboys with you. I know that for a fact. Mm-hmm. One of our star receivers, he got into kind of a weird, you know, weird situation. It wasn't his fault, but he got in a fight. He got kicked off the team, got kicked out of school. So, you know, for us, I was like, wow, that's crazy. And then
been tough for you too. You being the quarterback.
Yeah, I was like, that's crazy. And then two of my tackles that were like two star tackles, there, one of them was like, you know, I'm doing, you know, church stuff. He was like a Mormon. He was getting ready to go on his mission. So I'm going to work and save up for that. So he quit like a month before season. He was huge. He was like 300 pound dude. And then my other tackle, he was an opera singer. Can you believe that? And he was really good, like world class. And he was like, I'm going to focus on that. So I was like, wow, crazy. You guys just let me out to dry.
So my playing days are done.
Yeah.
Voice is good.
It was crazy. So, we went into the season. And
can't hurt his voice.
We lost like a bunch of close games. We played Green Valley with all of those guys and lost to them on the last second. Played Cimarron, lost to them on the last second. It was crazy. We lost, all of our games except Arborview, we lost by like less than a touchdown.
Right.
So it was crazy.
No kidding, man. Because the reason why I asked is Vlad and I were talking about it before. The last time I've seen Vlad in the flesh was probably like 2017 or 2016. Or I don't even know when the hell it was. No, it had to have been 2017 in Boise, Idaho. And we were on we were all there for this camp that Boise used to do. And we've talked about it a little bit on this podcast. And I just remember telling Vlad we were competing, and Senten looked good, man. I mean, we were there and we were like, oh shit, like they're banging, like they're coming in and hitting us. We did a goal line drill and they stopped us and they were talking shit. I think Legacy was there too. Legacy wasn't my favorite to play against, man. Holy shit, they had some talkers on that team, and I just don't do good with that.
Facts.
But man, it's good to see you. So I wanted to ask you this. You know, you talk about high school, and we've talked about high school quite a bit on our show, and how it's kind of like a defining moment for you and stuff like that. Have you always known that this real estate was something that you wanted to get into, or were you kind of just like put into it?
No, absolutely not. I mean, I didn't even know what I wanted to do moving into college and stuff like that. At the time, you know, I was just playing football, and I was like, what could I be good at? I always knew I wanted to do some kind of business. For me, I was, you know, watch Wolf of Wall Street and stuff. I'm gonna go to Wall Street and be like, you know, one of the CEO executives, like try to build my way up, you know, have some connections with people, you know, that have business here in Vegas. So, you know, I'll find my way. And then as I was kind of progressing, I realized I like real estate.
Yeah. Yeah, and you probably thought they were going to go sling some broads too. And, you know, Wolf of Wall Street is such a good movie where he's smashing just tens and tens and Margot Robbie and stuff like that. It's crazy like that. So you talked about college. You did go to college. Are you still in college right now?
No, I actually ended up taking a break this semester. Possibly, you know, I don't know if I'm going to go back. Probably not.
Hey, man, if you're making enough coin, well like you don't have to. So I want to talk about this because you put out an Instagram post a while ago, and I really do like your page. Plug your Instagram real quick because your page is really good.
Yeah, so my Instagram's at thevladplot, TheVladplot.
Clean. But you put out really good posts daily, and you kind of, I think what you do so well is that on your Instagram stories, you're very informative about what you're doing, and I think with a lot of this community nowadays, it's like feast or famine for a lot of people. And for you, you're actually giving really good, valuable information to people. But you put out a post, I don't know how long ago it was, but it talked about when you played for UNLV football for a little bit. And we have a commonality within for 1 year at a high school head coach named Tony Sanchez, who happened to be the head coach of the UNLV. And you put out something about what he had said to you. So I was wondering if you could talk to us about that, if you're comfortable.
Yeah, for sure. So just a little background, coming right out of high school, I didn't really have any crazy offers out there. I had some small schools from like all around the U.S. And I'm like, definitely not going there. So I'll probably gonna end up staying home. And the QB coach over at UNLV, he actually, you know, reached out to me. He was like, hey, do you want to be a preferred walk-on over here? You know, you have a spot. You know, you're obviously not getting the scholarship, but,
right,
you know, you're going to be – you can start right away, right, after you graduate. So I was like, yeah, sure thing, for sure. Let's get it rolling. So the day after I graduate, we have our, you know, Thomas and Mac little graduation, and the next day I'm at practice. So all that summer I practice with UNLV and moving into fall camp. And so, you know, I'm practicing, obviously playing quarterback, and I'm just not getting any, you know – and even practice time, you know, even in one-on-one drills, there's times where it would be my rep to go, and the coach would be like, hey, get out real quick so he can go. Oh. Yeah, and it would be kind of crazy. And that wasn't the head coach, but that was the position coaches. Yeah. And so for me, I was like, well, I'm not getting a scholarship for this. Yeah. So it's like, if I don't really see a point, you know, there's really no reason for me to play. So I kind of bounced around with the idea for a little while. And then, you know, I talked to my dad and stuff, and I was like, I think I'm going to stop playing here. You know, maybe I'll go JUCO. Maybe, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do, but we'll figure it out. Don't really see my place here. I'm like down on the depth chart, and I'm not getting a chance even to go up. So
he's like, even to be a practice dummy.
Yeah, exactly. I was not even getting in that practice. So I was like, you know, I don't want to feel like, hey, you know, start me, but at least like give me some practice time. Like, dang, like let me run scout team or something. Right. Like, so I was like, okay. You know, didn't know what I was going to do. Then I was like, all right, I'm quitting. So went to the quarterback coach's office. I was like, I'm going to drop off the playbook, dropped it out on his desk. And I was like, yeah, I'm out, blah, blah, blah. Talk to him. He was like, all right, well, you know, it's your decision. Ended up going downstairs, you know, packing up all my stuff. And he calls me. He's like, Tony wants you in his office. And I was like, all right. So I go up there, and he's like, sit down, close the door. I was like, all right. I sit down, close the door. And essentially, he's just like, why you quitting? And I was like, I just don't see, you know, a place here. You know, there's no point in me really being here at this point in time. You know, just kind of picking up the pads, I guess. You know, there's really no point. I think there's bigger things for me out there. I don't know what it is yet, but I think for me, it was kind of, I feel like I was losing an opportunity to find something that I wanted to do if I was just going to be at practice and not really, you know, not really achieving anything in football, but limiting myself of what I could do outside of it. So I told him, you know, hey, I'm probably looking to just, you know, stop playing for a little while, just figure out what I want to do. And he was like, you're a pussy. I was like, ah, damn. He was like, yeah. He was like, you're a quitter right now. You're going to be a quitter your whole life. And I'm like, all right, bro. Okay, that's pretty crazy. So, you know, I'm not going to badmouth him. You know, he might have felt some type of way at that time. But for me, that put a chip on my shoulder for sure.
Yeah.
So I was just like, all right, cool. Sounds good. He was like, yeah, close the door on the way out. Like, don't come back. I was like, all right, cool. So I ended up leaving. And, you know, I was sad about not playing football anymore. But I was like, dude, these guys are assholes.
Yeah,
I was like,
fuck that, man. Fuck that. I was like, so
that's how you feel. His big thing was like, well, you took a preferred walk-on spot away from somebody else that could have been, you know, wanted to play. And I was like, I saved somebody.
And then, you know what? Fuck that guy. That dude got fucking fired, axed. Yeah, a year later.
They ended up bringing like three other quarterbacks the next year, and like, dude, it's crazy. It's a mess.
Screw that guy, man. But the reason why I asked you is because I think that we all kind of have like a pivotal part in our life when someone does doubt you in some way, and sometimes it's family, sometimes it's friends, and sometimes it's a coach that says it in a awful approach and stuff like that. But I think it does, you know, burn a little fire under your ass a little bit and get you going. And is that kind of, talk to us about how you did start getting into real estate and what made you get away from college, because now you said you're not in college anymore and you may not have to go back.
Yeah, for sure. So then I was like, I was moping around for a little bit. Like I was kind of down, like really bad, like I'd say borderline probably depressed for a little while, because when that's your identity for a long time. And I want to say I walked away willingly, but at the same time unwillingly, because I was like, I know how good, you know, how good I can be. So it's like, am I kind of giving up too early or what? So I kind of moped around for a little bit, and I was like, all right, let's get it together. So then I was trying different things, man. I was trying to intern with companies. I was trying to sell life insurance for a bit.
Sure.
For like a week.
Did you get any bug spray?
No, I did not get into bug spray.
Yeah, everyone gets some bug spray right now.
not during the days of bug spray yet, I guess. Or it wasn't as big as it is now, but I ended up, you know, doing life insurance and stuff like that. And then I got into multi-level marketing, essentially, you know, like a pyramid scheme at one point by accident as well. And they're like, yeah, you're going to have to recruit people. And I was like, is this what I think it is? And they're like, yeah, this is what you think it is. I was like, yeah, I'm going to need my money back right now, right this second. And so I ended up not doing that. And then I listened to a few podcasts. I was listening to a bunch of different stuff.
Yeah.
So plug in this podcast, listen to it, guys. And and I listened to a real estate podcast, and there was a guy from here from Vegas, and he was like, yeah, I'm like flipping 100 houses a year. And I was like, what the hell? Like, I want to do that. So that kind of piqued my interest. And then at that point, I started kind of building on it and figuring it out.
Okay. So what was the first step? Like, you listened to the podcast, had an idea. Did this guy like give you like the first step to do, or did you have to figure it out on your own?
Nah, so this guy, you know, he talked about it, and I was like, so I gotta reach out to this guy. So I ended up reaching out to him like on Instagram, and I was like, hey, I'll work for you, blah blah blah, for free. I'll do whatever you need me to do at the office, blah blah blah. You know, I'm willing to mentor under you. And he was like, yeah, I don't really need you, bro. Like I don't really need you. Like, I don't really, like, I understand like where you're coming from. Like, it's dope, but like a bunch of people reach out to me like that, you know. So, you know, it's whatever. And I was like, all right, cool. He's like, but what you can do is you can come to like one of my real estate meetups. Maybe you can meet some, you know, some people. Maybe it'll kind of get you in the door. So I was like, cool. When's the next one? And he was like, well, the next one's going to be like in 2 weeks, you know, come by. So I ended up actually going down there. And that's when I kind of started getting into it a little bit more, because I got around all these people. They're like, yeah, we do like real estate full time for a living. Not like real estate agents, but they're like, you know, owning apartment buildings and, you know, they're flipping houses and they're wholesaling real estate, which I could talk about, which is mostly what I started out doing.
Yeah, and then what's it called? What did this real estate meetup look like?
Yeah, so it was pretty like unofficial, kind of, you know, like a small, it was at a title company. Yeah, it was like at a title company, And it was a small room. It was probably like 40 people. And you had to pay $20 to get in the door. They were like raising money for charity or whatever. Yeah. So I was like, shoot, I'll pay and I'll go. And I ended up going in and, you know, there's all these guys talking about real estate. And they're like, why the hell are you here? You're like, how old are you? I was like, I was 19 at the time. They're like, what? That's crazy. They're like, I wish I knew about real estate when I was 19. I was partying and stuff. I was like, yeah, well, you know, I'm here. So, mm-hmm. you know, what are my next steps? And they kind of told me just, you know, we got all the money in the world, but for us, you know, we're trying to hustle and get deals, like get really good opportunities. So I think that might be where you kind of fit in, where, you know, being the one that gets the opportunities, you can make a lot of money doing that. So I was like, word. Okay. Sounds good. You know, how do I get started? And that kind of propelled me forward, I would say.
Mm. So what would you say that your official job title is now? Like, what do you define yourself as?
I would say real estate investor. We're flipping. I'm buying a flip right now, actually. Starting to flip houses myself. What we would do is we'd wholesale real estate this past year. So
talk about that.
So wholesaling real estate is
dope. Talk about TikTok.
Yes. So I was like, super dope. Yeah. And a lot of people on TikTok are talking about it, but most people aren't doing it. They just heard about it. They're gonna teach about it. So it's essentially just getting really good deals off market from sellers that, you know, need to sell their house. It can be, you know, a complete dump. And I usually post it on my Instagram stories. Like, I'm in dumps all the time. Like, you know, tenants trash the place or something like that.
Really?
And the seller's like, hey, you know, I need to sell this house. So then we'll go in, you know, we'll contract it, you know, like we're buying it. And we have the choice to flip it. We could always flip it. But sometimes we have our investor partners, like flippers, that are willing to pay more. So, you know, let's say I contract a property for $200K and then, you know, flipper comes in and they're like, hey, bro, I'll pay you, you know, $212 for it. So then, you know, they'll pay me $212 for it. We'll pay off the $200. Then we'll keep kind of the profit in the middle. Right. So 12, essentially, right. Like any type of reselling out there, like sneaker reselling or,
sure.
You know, people do Jeeps and stuff like that, cars, you know, same thing, but we're real estate on a much bigger scale and you're going to do a lot less deals where versus, you know, if you're flipping shoes or something, you'll flip like hundreds of pairs, but this is, you know, you're flipping one house, but making bigger probably, career, you know, just as much money. It's just, you know, a lot.
Now, like, when you're talking to these people, is it like I'm going to get to them first? Because those, like, you say you're selling to the flippers. Those flippers can come to the people who own the property and just buy them for the same price you're going to.
Yeah, for sure. Right?
So
for sure.
You get to them first or something?
Yeah, for sure. Part of it is getting to them first, and then part of it is just getting to them in the first place, because a lot of these guys, they don't market themselves. They have the money, but they might not have the time. Some of them might be, you know, full-time business owners, or they do have another job, you know, and they flip houses as their second kind of business. So they need, you know, wholesalers are a big part of the real estate community, because they're the ones that oftentimes are sourcing the deals for you. So yeah, they may not have gotten to the seller and bought it for $200, but now they're getting an opportunity just brought to them at $212. You know what I mean? So, you know, essentially they didn't have to put in any work, maybe just build a relationship with that wholesaler, but they did all the work for you. So yeah, they're getting compensated for it, of course.
Right. You did mention one thing about, you know, when you went to your first meeting that someone said, hey, like, I wish at 19 I would have known. Would you say that you're one, and now we're, what are you 21 yet, or are you 20?
Yeah, I just turned 21 in July. So okay. Yeah, I'm gotcha. 21 and a half.
Okay. So, I mean, would you say that you're one of the few people in our age group that are still doing this today? Because I know a lot of kids that we know, and I hate to say the kids because, I mean, hell, we're adults now, but a lot of them don't have their shit together, and you obviously have your shit together. When you go around and do with the stuff that you do in your field, do you see anyone like you or anyone that was you at 19 kind of getting that information that you wish where a lot of other people wish they had?
Yeah, there's definitely a few guys. There's a few guys out here in Vegas. Not really so much in Vegas. There's a lot of guys throughout the country that I know, like, that are young as well. They've reached out to me. You know, I got buddies in Austin, Texas, that do it and stuff like that. And for me, I mean, the end goal was always flipping. So I was like, I'm gonna get into flipping. But starting out flipping, I mean, you need cash. You know, you can definitely leverage, you know, different loans and, you know, other people's money and stuff like that. But you do need cash. You do need, you know, to put some money into it. So for me, I mean, I had $300. I didn't have any money. Right. So for me, I was like, I'm going to go out. I'm gonna find these deals. I'm going to like arbitrage them. I'm going to sell them to these flippers. I'm going to make my money. And then at that point, whenever I decide to do whatever I want to do with these deals, you know, at that point, you know, I kind of have the freedom to do that. So
I think that, like, say some person listening here, a high schooler, and they're, or even a young college student, they're listening to this podcast right now, they're thinking about getting into real estate. Is that foot through the door like wholesaling? The easiest way, maybe, or like the simplest,
or like the initial step,
right?
Or would you recommend people going and get their real estate license? Right.
Yeah, well, I mean, it really depends on what you want to do. Kind of wholesaling is you gotta get in the trenches. Like, you gotta, mm-hmm. there's a lot of people. I mean, same thing with being a real estate agent, but real estate agent, you know, there's a house full, you know, all of these houses down the street that you could go to any of them. And if they're looking to sell at the time, you could potentially make a commission. Wholesaling is a lot different. You have to make sure that it's a really good deal to the point that somebody could actually put in money into it and still come out with a profit, even with, you know, different costs that are associated mm-hmm. with it. So it's a lot more competitive, I feel like, but it's a lot more lucrative as well. Sure. A lot of big real estate agents, they're like, you know, I wish I was flipping, blah, blah, blah. So for me now, I say, you know, if you want to get into real estate investing, wholesaling is definitely kind of the way to get your foot in the door. If you just want to get into real estate, I mean, you could definitely be an agent and absolutely kill it. There's a ton of agents killing it.
Well, and I think that's a good thing too, because this market in Las Vegas is so open. And before we get into the Las Vegas market, what has that been like though with the COVID? How has your position been as, you know, in a COVID year? Did it hurt you? Did it help you? I mean, because, you know, we were for a small business, so it's almost like, you know, for small businesses, some of them have plummeted and some of them have, you know, skyrocketed. What has it been like for you in the wholesaling?
Yeah, for the most part, it hasn't really changed too much. I know everybody was kind of super scared whenever last March hit, because they were like, oh yeah, the real estate market is tanking. Like, it's over, dude. Like,
Another recession.
Mm-hmm. It's coming. And we bounced back quick. Like, by July, you know, at least the housing market was like booming here in Vegas. So I never really felt it. I mean, the only thing is, you know, with a lot of people, they're like, oh, I'm kind of holding off. You know, especially older people, they're like, I'm not holding off on selling right now because, you know, COVID, I don't want to deal with people. You know, I don't really want to go and find another place to move if, you know, if I want to move. So I'm just rather coop up in the house and, you know, hit me up in like 5 or 6 months. So that was kind of the biggest hurdle. But other than that, that's kind of the beauty of real estate. You know, it's always moving. Even if the market was to go down, it's, you know.
And can you tell us your, like, your first house that made you profit that you remember, like, the people who you bought it from or, like, the process?
Yeah, so the first one.
How old were you, by the way?
So when I tell you guys, I was 19. It was, like, a week before my birthday. So mm-hmm. I was about to turn 20 when I went to that meetup.
Yeah.
And so I turned 20 like a week later, and I got started. So I started, you know, marketing sellers. I was, you know, cold calling them, and I was texting, and I was door knocking, doing a bunch of
hustling. You said you got to get in the trenches.
Yeah, you got to get in the trenches for sure, especially starting out, because now, you know, we have like a little marketing team and stuff like that. They're reaching out, calling for me and stuff, but starting out, you definitely have to get in the trenches. And this deal, I door knocked it. You know, it was like, so you could tell whenever a house is like unkept. So I went and door knocked the guy, and he was like, yeah, man, you know, I just got out of jail, blah, blah, blah. I'm trying to get rid of this house. You know, can you help me out? I was like, yeah, man, I got, you know, I'll definitely help you out. You know, we agreed to a price actually right there and then, and I knew that was going to be a pretty good deal. So I didn't know, you know, what to do at all. So I actually ended up reaching back out to that guy mm-hmm. that had told me, hey, you know, you don't really have any, I don't really need, you know, need your services at this time. And I was like, hey, you know, I know you didn't want me to work for you, but I'm doing my own thing now. And I have this deal, like, you want to partner on it? You know, we could split the profits. I don't care. Just show me what to do. Hold my hand. So he actually ended up showing me the process of it. Like, this is what you do from start to finish. Right. Like, this is the process of it.
Paperwork and all that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I ended up, you know, letting him make a profit on it as well when I didn't have to. But I probably wouldn't have made any profit if I didn't.
Yeah, you wouldn't know the process.
Yeah, if I didn't know the process, like, I was gonna be stuck. So I was like, you know, I'll give up whatever money needs to be given up in order for me to learn the process. And then mm-hmm. once he showed me, hey, like, hey, this is what you do, and I was like, all right, well, it's like scary, but it's not that scary. I'll go try it on my own. And at that point, I started kind of building it up from there.
Sure. Wow, what a hell of a story. Man, and then when awesome. You go and knock on doors like this, and I mean, you said you have people to do it now, but what is the reception like for some people? Are some people like, what the hell? Because we're still all young looking and everything like that. And they're like, who the hell is this young guy talking to me about what I need to do with my property and stuff like that? How's that been?
Yeah, most people are just going to be like, screw off. Yeah. Like, you know, get out of here, blah, blah, blah. Stop soliciting. It's just like anything else, like with... You know,
selling chocolate bars.
Yeah, selling chocolate bars or whatever. But you know, the difference is, whenever you do get those people that I genuinely just need to sell it, and they, you know, I've had situations like a lot of people give like investors and wholesalers a bad rep. It's like, oh, dude, you're getting really cheap houses. But it's like a lot of these houses. There was one that we did, you know, a deal we did where the people bought like a, you know, during the recession in 08, all those foreclosures and stuff like that. Houses were, you know, torn to shreds because people were pissed they were getting foreclosed on, you know, toilets cemented and stuff like that. They actually bought a house that was like fully distressed, and they actually lived in it for 10 years, never fixed it up. They're like, we were going to get to it, but we couldn't do anything about it. You know, it's kind of a burden. You know, do you think you could do anything for us? And I was like, yeah, well, you know, I have investors, you know, we'll buy it as is, you know, you guys can keep whatever you want in it, and, you know, we'll make it work for you. And they were like, almost crying, because they were like, we didn't know like this was possible, blah, blah, blah. We thought we were going to have to list it on the market, and we were kind of embarrassed of having people walking in and out.
Right.
You know, it's like an easy transaction. You know, nobody even has to see it. We took some pictures. We're like, okay, you know, we know that we're going to need to put at least like 40,000 into it. Right. So, you know, blah, blah, blah. And a lot of people prefer that. So, I mean, it's not for everybody, but it's for those select few, and it's definitely there's definitely a market for it.
And for those select few, that might be their saving grace. Literally, like you just said, being like, oh, shit, well, I didn't want to go on the market. I mean, this is something that – this sounds really good and stuff like that. I wanted to talk about, like, some of your personal real estate and stuff like that. Are you in – looking into, you know, buying your own houses and stuff like that? And with the plethora of knowledge that you know now, I mean, where does that alter from where you – when you first started to now?
Yeah, I've definitely learned a lot this past year. It's been crazy. You learn like something new every day when you're doing something. And I think the biggest thing is like going out of your comfort zone, like trying something new. And you're not gonna know it starting out, but you will kind of learn as you go. So, you know, now we're looking at buying. You know, we're buying flips ourselves. So it's like, yeah, we don't really need these investors. Well, I'll take that back. I mean, we still wholesale to investors. We can't buy all the house. We're not that liquid. We're not millionaires or anything like that. But, you know, we have the choice of, hey, you know, this is a really good deal. So why would I, you know, try to wholesale it to an investor for them to make some money as well, when, you know, I could just make a bigger spread on it and flip it myself. So that's kind of, you know, the move now. I'm negotiating a couple of rentals right now. So, you know, trying to build the wealth portion of it. You know, actually keep rentals and stuff like that. So definitely learning and, you know, just improving and stuff like that. So I think that's huge.
And you know, you don't have a real estate license, do you?
I do. Yeah. So I actually have my real estate license, and my brokerage is super, super investor friendly. So a few of the guys that hold their licenses there, they, you know, they have their real estate businesses. They flip, they wholesale, they hold rentals. So it's been good. I don't know if I'm going to end up keeping it. I don't know if I use it enough to the point that, you know, because it still comes with a lot of costs. It's about $3,000 a year in like total cost to hold your license. But for example, like my flip right now, we're gonna end up, you know, buying it, renovating, and then reselling it. I'm obviously gonna save the seller's commission on my side, because I'll be able to list it myself, and, you know, only having to pay you know, the buyer's agent that brings their buyer. So I do have my license. It's not necessary to start in wholesaling, but I kind of got my license before I started, if that makes sense.
Is it one of those things that looks better though? Yeah. Like when you are going to properties and being like, look, like I do wholesale, but I also have my license. Does it help you at all?
Or? Yeah. It gives you credibility. So a lot of realtors, like the old school guys, the old heads, they don't understand the wholesaling side of it. Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, well, you can't be a real estate agent and an investor. Cause like, when you're a real estate agent, you're trying to sell the house for as much as possible. But when you're an investor, you're trying to buy it for like as low as possible for you to make money. But, you know, for me, I've always been fully transparent. I think that's super important. And especially if you have your license, you could get in a lot of trouble if you're hiding that you're an agent and you're an investor. So whenever I go to properties, I'm like, hey, I'm going to give you options. Like, do you want to list it on the market? This is probably the price you're going to have to list it at. Right. You're still going to have to pay commissions and stuff like that. or do you want to maybe net a little bit less money, but you can, we could actually, you know, buy for you from you in 15 days
and quick.
Never goes on market. As is, there's not going to be any inspections. Yeah. There's not going to be, you know, any banks involved or anything like that. So, it's not going to be 30 to 45 days to close. We'll close in 12 days. Like, does that sound good to you? And you know, what your options are. And some people are going to be like, nah, man, I'm going to put it on the market for 3 or 4 months and I'm going to, you know, milk this bit bad boy. I'm going to try to net as much money as possible. But some people are like, hey man, I got to move to like, New Mexico, like in a week, dude, what can you do for me? Like, I'm willing to walk away from like 15K if it makes the deal work and you guys can buy it.
Yeah,
it's
I gotta
like,
go.
It's like, dude, okay. You know, because at the end of the day, whenever people are like, you know, equity, but you don't really have that equity if the property is not, you know, maximized to its full ability. Like, yeah. it's not really worth that number, like that full price number, if it's not fully updated, if that mm-hmm. makes sense. So mm-hmm. I'm always fully transparent. I think it does give you kind of a credibility. It's like, dude, I'm not a sleazy guy, you know. We buy houses here in Vegas, and you know, I have my license too, so you could look me up. If I do wrong by you, you could report me. Like, absolutely, go ahead. Yeah. So it's like, you know, all full transparency for you. So I think that's been huge. Just save me a couple deals.
Yeah,
for sure.
How, like, maybe dumb question because I just don't know. How'd you get the real estate license? Is it like a test you take or like a class?
Yeah, for sure. So for your real estate license, all you need to do is just go through classes. You could go in person or online. It's a little bit. It took me a couple months to get through it. And then you take a test. There's like a national portion, state portion. And then right, you know, when you pass, you just hang your license with a broker. If you're going to be a real estate agent, I don't recommend hanging your license at like a broker's that I'm at. Well, I take that back, actually. You know, if you want to be like a real estate agent that is fully focused on selling, mm-hmm. I'll go to like maybe a real estate brokerage that, you know, feeds you, you know, leads and stuff like that. They do a lot of marketing for you and stuff like that. But, you know, if you want to possibly get into the investing side at one point and like own rentals and flip houses, I think my brokerage is that I hang my license as, you know, it's huge. They're
right.
Super, super flexible, super transparent.
Yeah, and that's something that we've talked about, something that we want to get into. So, you know, obviously our viewership is kids of our age. I'd say it's probably from anywhere from 16 to like 25.
Yeah.
25, 30. And so, you know, a lot of the kids that we know are starting to get into their careers and stuff like that. I wanted to ask, do you recommend renting to people? I mean, because the way that I've always viewed renting is almost like burning your money away and just like saying goodbye to it and not getting anything in return. And so that's why I've always, you know, I still live at home with my folks and stuff like that, but I've always been interested in buying and saving and saving and saving. So I wanted to know how you feel, given that you do have a real estate license and that you're wholesaling and you're doing all this and you're investing, do you ever recommend renting or anything like that?
I think it depends. There's like this big thing with people that, you know, never there. There's people that are like, oh, never rent. And then there's people that are like, oh, never buy a house, which is like crazy because when you buy a house, you have all the, you know, extra costs associated with it that you don't really see, you know, in terms of maintenance and stuff like that. But when you live in a rental, you know, you're paying your rent and that's it. You know, you if the something breaks, you're like, hey, landlord, you know, come fix this toilet, you know. Meanwhile, if you own a house and the toilet breaks, you got to dish out $300 bucks to fix it. So those kind of costs add up. But I definitely recommend buying personally. Like, it's a personal opinion, but I definitely recommend buying, and especially buying if you can kind of leverage it at some point. You know, there's people call it house hacking. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of it. Mm-hmm. Just essentially buying, you know, let's say you buy a 3-bed, 2-bath out here in Summerlin, and you know, you have a $1,500 mortgage, and then instead of, you know, dishing out $1,500 a month, rent out two rooms to two of your buddies and have them pay you $450 a month or $500 a month, and you guys split it. So now, you know, maybe your buddies were going to be renting, they're not in a position to buy, and instead they're paying down your mortgage, and you're kind of their landlord, but not really. You guys are in it.
You're roommates, but
yeah, you guys.
We know what the deal is.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like if you have your ducks in a row and you're, you know, ready to go, ready to buy, doing that I think can be huge, because now you're living for $500 a month, but they're building up your equity over time. you know, over a couple of years, let's say the property values go up by, you know, 20,000, those are your property values. Okay. You know, let's say they paid down about 10,000, you know, you made 30,000 into it. And then if you want to move out later and just use it as a full-time rental, you can once you move out onto a bigger house. So definitely recommend like house hacking if you can, or, you know, just buying. See, buying's good too.
And that's what we've talked about too. Mm-hmm. And we always try to give, you know, good advice to our listeners. And I think that's it's a great one too. You have anything you want to say? I have a couple questions, and not that we're wrapping up anything, but I have a lot.
No, so I want to ask you, in the year, as a year and a half that you've done real estate, maybe a little bit more.
Yeah, a little over a year. Yeah.
Yeah. So what's the one thing that you learned, like doing this, you know, every day, right? What's the one thing you learned, like, about yourself?
About myself, I'd say you just have to be consistent. Like gets kind of difficult. Like, it might get sometimes mundane, but like, a lot of people, the reason that they fail at things is because they jump around too quick. And I felt like, for me, I tried different things, but once I found, like, yeah, I'm really passionate about this, it's like go, even when it gets kind of hard. And I found that, you know, that's been big for me personally, just staying consistent with the same thing over and over and over again. And over time, if you're doing the right things, obviously don't be doing, you know, the wrong things, you're not gonna get results, but doing the right things, you'll definitely get results. And whatever you do, it doesn't have to be real estate. Yeah.
I wanted to go back real quick to, because we were talking about the buying and stuff like that. What is a number that you always recommend to put down on a house? Or a condo or anything like that? Or do you have to?
Yeah, people don't have to put down anything.
Yeah, so I mean, there's down payment assistance programs that you could definitely qualify for. In terms of, you know, starting buying your first house, you could get an FHA loan. You just have to put down 3.5% for it. 3.5% down. You know, normally when people think of home buying, they're thinking like 20%.
Yeah.
But you could put down, you know, 3.5% and be into a house. A $300,000 house, that's $10,000. You know,
It's cake.
You know, that's
it's not cake. I mean, but.
But it's not, you know, 20%. 20% on $300,000, that's $60,000.
Right.
That's what kind of people always feel like is the way, you know, oh, it's like I have to put down a house, like I'm a home buyer. But really, you could, you know, get into a house pretty cheap. And like I said, especially if you're like house hacking it, it's like, you know, you'll make that money back super quick.
Exactly. And you get those roommates and stuff like that. And this is, again, this is an amateur question, and more so for me, and then also for some of our listeners. How do you qualify for some of those loans? Is that through like your credit score and how much you're taking in income wise? I mean, how do they calculate that and you qualify?
Yeah, so they're usually I'm not like on the lending side really, but I, you know, just from the basics, they usually want to see about, you know, 2 years of tax returns for you being in the same job, if that makes sense, right? Like in the same field at least. It doesn't have to be at the same like place of employment. And, you know, they want to see your W-2s.
Yeah.
They're going to want to see that. They're going to want to see your credit score. I mean, you don't have to have a perfect credit score, but the better your credit score is, the better your rate is. The better your rate is on the mortgage. So credit score is important. And then what was I saying? The W-2s and, you know, having a stable income. So right now, on my personal level, I can't buy a house right now because I don't have 2 years of tax return. So
right.
I probably, I don't know if I would be buying right now, but I potentially would, you know, would be thinking about it this summer, but I can't. I'm going to have to wait till next year to pick up one of these.
And loans. Is that something that you want to do given, you know, your experience in your professional field right now?
Yeah, for sure. I in terms of buying a house.
Yeah,
for sure. I want to most likely end up buying it and house hacking it. You know, it's like I have absolutely no like reason to not do it. I'm super young too, still, and it's like all of us are really young. So it's like, if you can live with some roommates, first of all, it'd be a lot more fun.
Exactly.
And second of all, you know, you could save your buddies from renting from somebody, and it's like, you guys could all be living together.
And actually having to deal with a real life landlord. I've heard some stories, you know. I mean, it's not the easiest to do stuff like that, you know.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, yeah, I completely agree.
Oh, I don't know. I didn't have questions set up.
It's all good, man. Like I said, I just think that this is so interesting because, you know, like our age capacity of people that are listening to this are, you know, going to get to a point where, you know, this is something that they want to get into. I've learned so much just through terms like this. I mean, walk us through your 9-to-5 like schedule day. Are you working 5 days a week? I mean, because we have like our days off and stuff like that. Like, what is that for you?
Yeah, so I'm working on it in terms of days off. I feel like I'm always running around doing something, right. You know, answering a call or something like that. It gets kind of crazy. I try to get Sundays off now, take my like completely unplug from work and try to not worry about any emergency calls or anything like that from anybody. Right. So that's kind of my day off. And then from the start to finish, from the day, you know, I'm kind of doing whatever in terms of, you know, I used to prospect, you know, call and text and stuff like that, and, you know, trying to set up Google ads and stuff like, you know, different things. But now that I've kind of set up a little bit of a system with people, just kind of managing them, making sure leads are coming in, a ton of follow up. So most of the leads that we get coming in, they're not like right away, like, hey, you know, I want to sell. It's like usually it takes them a couple of months for them to actually crack and be like, all right, well, you've been following up with me. Okay, fine. You know, let's make it happen. So a lot of follow up. I'm going out to properties all the time, taking a look. You know, not every property I go to is going to be a deal. Sometimes they just want too much. You know, sellers are unrealistic. It might need like $50,000 of work and they're willing to sell it for, you know, $30,000 under the market value. You know right. what I mean? So it's like there's not only would I not make money, I'd probably lose money if I was to get into, you know, into this deal. So kind of everything and anything. I'm kind of focused on making a little bit more content now, like getting into YouTube and stuff like
that. Yeah, talk to us about that, because I've been seeing that on your Instagram and stuff like that. Like do a couple little self-promotion that you got going on right now, because that seems like a little side hustle you're doing, right?
Yeah. So one of my buddies out here in Vegas, actually that guy that I reached out to, the investor, he's a pretty big investor here in Vegas, and he's always like, you know, I'd say he's become my friend over this year, almost like a mentor. And he's like, dude, you gotta get on social media, like it's huge for your business. More people find out about you. Like the reason you found out that I do real estate is because I'm always posting yeah. about it on my story, like, yo, we're flipping these nasty houses, blah, blah, blah. So he's like, yeah, get on social media, start posting on your Instagram stories, get on YouTube. So I started up on YouTube. I kind of phased out at the end of 2020 because I was like, I don't know if I'm doing, you know, good enough content. And I ended up buying like a ton of equipment to get into it and put, you know, post actually good content here moving forward. So if you go to my Instagram that I described earlier, the Vlad Plot, you can go in my bio. It's, you know, all the links are in there. I'm just trying to post more relatable stuff to people, like stuff that I do day to day, you know, stuff about real estate, like regular questions that people might have, just entertaining stuff, I guess.
Right. Right. I just find that interesting because you mentioned, you know, how busy you are and stuff like that. But you earlier said you got to be in the trenches. And it's one of those things where for us, you know, we work an 8-hour day and this is how much you're really going to get paid. But for you, it's like, if I don't go to work, fuck, I'm not going to make any money. Like if I take the day off, that's money out of my hand. Right. I mean, is that how you kind of view it?
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, for me, I feel like that's kind of the best part of real estate. It's like eat what you what is it called? What's the saying? I don't know, but basically, you know, you make what you earn, essentially. Right. You know, every single day that you work, you make what you earn. You don't get paid for participation, and
the more you put in, the more you get out.
Yeah, the more you put in, the more you get out of it. And it doesn't have to be necessarily effort. You know, it's effort in the start, but then afterwards, it's really just kind of strategic effort. Mm-hmm. You know, make sure you're spending money the right way and like investing in your business the right way, investing into people the right way. So I feel like that's kind of, you know, that's kind of the thing, I guess.
How does that affect your social life though? Because I think that, you know, when I tell people what I do now and then how I'm a general manager and shit like that, like people kind of look at me and be like, well, why aren't you in a frat? Or like, why aren't you doing this shit? I'm like, dude, I've outgrown that shit. Like, I could care less. How has that affected your social life? And as a man that now says, hey, I only have Sundays to untangle from work and stuff like that. How's that been for you?
Yeah. So it's been a work in progress. I feel like a lot of people my age, they're they're not on the same mental, like in terms of kind of what they want in life. For a lot of people, it is, you know, the frats and stuff like that. Nothing wrong with that. I think a lot of people would say, hey, you're dumb. You're missing out on things, but
experience.
You're missing out on experiences, but I never see it that way because I feel like by the time everybody graduates and they're getting into the swing of their careers, you know, I'll be way past them because I've been doing this for five years by the time they, you know, are even scratching the surface. So it's like, I don't really mind it. I feel like for me, I want to get around more people that are kind of like-minded that want a little bit more than just the regular stuff. Mm-hmm. And so that's, you know, that's difficult. I have to be a lot more selective. I can't hang out with, you know, everybody anymore, you know, go smoke weed with them and stuff like that. That's like not a thing that I do. So it's like, you know, you can't interest me in that, you know, it has to be worth my time.
You got to hang out with the sharks. You know what I mean? Yeah, if you want to be a winner, you got to hang out with the winners.
Exactly.
And stuff like that.
And it doesn't have to be real estate. It's like, I love hanging out with people that are just about their stuff, man. You could be, you know, one of my buddies, like, he works a regular job, but he like does, you know, stock trading on the side and he like makes a killing. I'm like, dude, why are you still working? Like, I'm going to stop. I'm going to get into stocks full time. So I just think it's all about mindset.
Yeah,
and those are the right people to be hanging around with for sure.
Absolutely.
As that, I have a question. I saw your Instagram bio because Jackson was like, oh, look, check this guy. I learned something about him. And under your name, it says risk taker and visionary. Just tell like the fans who are listening, like how important is it to take risks?
Dude, it's huge. Like, it's huge to take risks. Everything, like, I do right now is, like, a risk. Dude, you got to risk it for the biscuit, like, 100%. Like, that's a great saying that I've heard. Like, you can't expect to not risk anything and get good returns. Like,
it's just... Are there times you're, like, scared?
Yeah, 100%, dude. Like, right now, I mean, I'm buying my first flip right now. It's, like, I'm about to sink in... you know, have $50,000 into it right from the start. And, you know, we're going to be building it. You know, a lot of things could go wrong. You know, hopefully they don't, but a lot of things, anytime a lot of things can go wrong. I've had scares where I almost had to go to court for a deal because there's always a lot of risk, but it's like, The people that you see that are really successful, they took the risks. You know, you'll hear like, oh, I had no money and I like went into credit card debt to like start up my business. And then like, it worked. Obviously it doesn't work all the time, but if you're always passive and you're like, well, you know, I'm scared of what could happen. It's like, well, if you don't do it, it definitely won't happen. Nothing will happen. Like you'll just keep on doing what you're doing right now.
What has the perception been from your loved ones when you tell them what you do and then now that you're doing it? Because you're making more money than, you know, one, probably all of your friends, and two, probably some of your loved ones and people that have been in their career paths for a long time.
Yeah, I feel like that can be a little tough. At first, you get your doubters, you know, family was doubting and stuff like that. They're like, you know, I don't know. You're kind of young for real estate. Like, dude, you know, I don't know if you could do that. Maybe you can be an agent and try to sell houses, but I don't know if you can like get in there with the trenches. Cause you know, my competitors are like some of the biggest guys in the city in terms of like buying houses. Like right now it's kind of slow with inventory so low in the city. So I get guys hitting, you know, the big guys hitting me up sometimes like, hey, you know, do you have any deals for me? Blah, blah, blah. So, I kind of have gotten a little bit more respect from that side of it. And, you know, as I've progressed, my family's kind of seen it, you know, family, friends, you know, uncles and stuff like that. They're like, okay, you know, getting a lot more respect, you know, maybe how can I get involved? You know what I mean? It's like, how to teach me about real estate.
Yeah,
I think
that's what I'm sure that a lot of your boys have probably hit you up in mind, like, okay, hold up, bro. Like, come on, drop me a little nugget right here. Like, what am I going to do? I mean, I've always found that super interesting, man. And I, you know, even with this is when we tell people we have a podcast named 2 Inches Deep, it's like, okay, well, how long is this going to be practical? And it's like, well, how long we want to make it practical? How long we want to keep on doing it? And I like the way that you said, though, that it's like you have one of those things where if you want to hang out with people like-minded, you just do. And they could be flipping burgers or doing barbecue like us. But it's if you're fucking hustling, I want to hang out with you. I want to figure out what you're doing and stuff like that. You've always been a big guy into, and you do this on your Instagram as well, into fitness and stuff like that. Walk us through your fitness routine, because I'm reading I want to know if you read this book. It's called Can't Hurt Me by David Goggins.
Yeah.
Reading that shit's changed my fucking life, man.
Yeah.
It's changed my life.
For sure. I think for me, like my fitness routine, I'm kind of fluid. I try different things. I like to switch it up. So I like CrossFit a lot.
Breathing.
Yeah.
Right over there. You got a missing screw for sure.
I like CrossFit, but then again, I get like kind of bored with it sometimes. So then I'll go back to lifting heavy and stuff like that. I built a garage gym a year and a half ago. I like assembled a garage gym, and then COVID hit and everybody's like, dude, the gyms are closed. I'm like, yeah, finally, you know, this came in super handy, because I would be in the gym still every day, and I have my boys coming down and like trying to work out and stuff like that.
Do you charge them side hustle again? Right? Just be like, hey, bro.
Right. I was like, I'm gonna open up a gym in here and charge you guys.
For you.
Yeah.
New station.
Yeah, call Juice Bar over here. What you want, man?
Bro, I was thinking about it. I was like, we're gonna call it the dungeon or something, and just have people coming down. It would be fun. But then it was like right in, you know, COVID and stuff like that. I was like, I'm not gonna catch COVID from then, you guys.
shout out to one of our guests who came on here. His name was Jason Auschwitz, from his family's from Germany. So they called their home gym the oven. So
I'm crying.
Yeah, they're evil and stuff like that. But we talked about books. Are you a big reader? From the way that we're talking right now, it sounds like you're always trying to do something. Are you a reader by any chance?
Yeah, I love reading. I'm big into reading, and I like Audible. I don't know if you guys do audiobooks, but I have Audible. You get like a credit a month, so you get like 12 books a year. It's pretty dope. I usually like listening to that stuff in the car, but I do like, you know, sitting down and reading a book. I read Can't Hurt Me by Goggins. I think that book's crazy. He's just like, essentially just like, stop being a pussy. Like,
yeah, that's a hard motherfucker right
there.
Yeah,
you're in control of your own fate. Like, what are you doing? Like, why are you moping around? So I think that book is great. There are a few, you know, if in terms of like a big time mindset shift, Think and Grow Rich is a huge, huge mindset shift, because it's like you're not going to be rich till you think you can be rich, and it's like till you want to be rich, and that's kind of a big part of it. And Rich Dad Poor Dad, that's a big huge book for I think anybody that became an entrepreneur, like a business owner. I don't care if you run like a restaurant or you do real estate, anything really. I think anybody should read that book personally.
But before we wrap up and stuff like that, I wanted to talk about college and how you feel about college, because
We're students in college right now.
We are. We're almost done and stuff like that. But I'll tell you what, I've hated every second of college, which is, you know, I think a lot of it had to do with the high school that I went to. I grew up pretty damn fast and saw some of the things. I've never been the guy that's into the partying scheme and stuff like that. And I don't think Ally Rock really has either. But talk to us about what you feel like college has been for the time that you went. And then now that you're out, how do you view it?
Yeah, so I've never really got – I never got into, like, the party scene in college and stuff like that. I partied a fair share in high school. I mean, Centennial was pretty active. We did a lot of stuff. But when I got to college, I was on the football team. Then I stopped. So I wasn't hanging out with them anymore. It was kind of difficult to, like, work myself into – because I didn't want to hang out with any of the frat guys or anything like that. Like, they wanted to, you know, get me to join and, like, party and stuff. But – you know, I didn't, you know, didn't really think about, you know, want to do that per se. In terms of the learning part of college, I don't know. It's I'm kind of in the air. I think it's not for everybody for sure. I think if you want to go and get a job and you have like a set, you know, even then, I think college is just unnecessary at this point in time.
Oh, so this is an interesting thing. So valuable or invaluable? I mean, what do you think?
I just think...
It depends what you're trying to do, obviously.
It depends on your
character. Doctors and stuff.
Yeah, it depends on... Yeah, for sure. Oh, well, 100%. If you want to be like a doctor or a lawyer, like... good luck. Good luck not going to college. But you know, in terms of like, hey, you know, I'm a hustler. I want to get into, you know, a business and stuff like that. Even like Musk at Tesla, he's like, I don't really care about your college degree. Like if you went to college, it really doesn't mean anything to me. Elon Musk said that. So it's like, you know, I think that's going to be the trend moving forward. There's so much information for you out there on anything in the world. So it's like, I feel like the stuff that they're teaching in college is like sometimes so surface level and so outdated that they're just running through the textbook. And it's like, that's ridiculous. Whenever you go to a job after college, you're going to be relearning everything anyways.
Yeah.
So it's like, I think way more valuable than college is going to coffee with a lot of people.
Yeah.
Like just DMing a ton of people that, you know, are in your like said field and going to coffee with them every day, taking them out for coffee and being like, hey, blah, 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 like picking their brain on it. And I think connections are huge. Like,
right.
I think a lot of people feel like that degree is the foot in the door to a job. And then you just relearn everything, you know, specific to that particular job later on. But if you have those connections, you never even need that degree. You just have your foot in the door automatically.
And I think that that perception of having a good college roots from our parents and stuff like that, because I'll be a first generation college graduate, hopefully, once I finish stuff my degree. And I just think that that perception of like you need to go to college was rooted from a lot of our parents' generation and stuff like that. But now you're hearing the Elon Musk come in the world and stuff like that. And it's like, if you want to hustle, you don't need that 9-to-5 job to get the pension and get the retirement that you want and stuff like that. And I always ask some of our guests who are, you know, either D1 athletes or people like yourself, you know, where do you rank it? And I'm glad that you put your little spin on it, man. I think the connections is fantastic, and it's connections like these that we can all, you know, everyone can make it. You just got to be a social person and at least, you know, go up and shake someone's hand, look them in the eye and stuff like that. I think people skills are
huge.
Invaluable.
Yeah, I think that's really under kind of utilized, especially today, like quarantine and stuff like that. People are really forgetting about like people skills, and I think that's so important.
Like, I feel scared not to shake someone's hand because I don't know if they're gonna be like, oh, I can't, you know, COVID.
Yeah, that's always the best when you go in for the handshake. They're like, oh, elbow. Yeah, sorry. It's like, oh shit.
Yeah.
And stuff like that, man. Well, listen, we have learned so much on this podcast, and I hope that we can get you on a couple more times, man, and pick your brain and stuff like this. I think for the listeners that are listening to this, is really take in on what he has to say about this. I mean, I think we're all the creator of our own destiny and stuff like that. And if you have any questions, please follow him. And it's a great follow because it teaches you a lot, and he's very open about teaching people, and take that in. And so, Vlad, thank you so much for coming on. Ali Rock, you want to say anything, man?
No, I learned so much from this episode. Like, you're inspiring us to kind of get back on our grind and stuff like that, like with this podcast even. And you know, hopefully we'll have you back on in a few years now when you're doing bigger things, you know?
Yeah for when sure. He is the Jordan Belfort
right,
of the
right.
road. He's coming over real estate. Margot Robbie and being like, hey guys, I only got 30 minutes, fellas.
Love it. Appreciate you guys. Thank you for having me on.